All right. Welcome to Gibraltar for our Rumble on the Rock podcast series from Matchroom Radio. I'm your host, David Diamante, and I am delighted to be joined by Campbell and Matthew Hatton. These guys are my guests today. Gentlemen, great to see you. It is a pleasure to have you here. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, really good, mate. Really excited for Saturday night and ready to put a good performance in.
What's happening Saturday? No, I'm just kidding. Got to pull your leg a little bit. We had a long day today, right? I mean, we started in London, woke up real early at the hotel. We were in quarantine, right? And then we took the bus, and then we took the plane, and now we're here in Gibraltar. And it's your first time here, right?
Yeah, first time. It's been a bit of a crazy day, hasn't it, really? I've been all over the show here, there, and everywhere, but got here really impressed with everything. Like, never seen anything like it, so... I'm really buzzing with it.
I tell you what, man, better get used to it. This is life in the pros. What's going on, Matthew? How you doing?
I'm good, thank you, and great to be here. First time in Gibraltar. What a fantastic setting up there for the workout. Fantastic, and really looking forward to Saturday.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, we're here. So for all the listeners out there, we're on a yacht right now called the Sunborn 5-star Yacht Hotel, and it is quite a setup. I mean, we've got an incredible... vision of, you know, view of the Rock, and we just did the open workout on the top deck, and they had the ring set up, and Campbell was up there, and Matthew was holding the pads, and these guys were up there doing it. So, you know, it's funny, this is not, I guess, the normal debut, right? I figured, Campbell, you must have thought that Manchester would have been the likely destination when you put pen to paper, but we're in Gibraltar. How do you feel about that? You happy about it?
Yeah, I am. It'd have been nice. Like growing up, I've always dreamed of boxing at like Manchester Arena in front of all my friends and my family. But you know what? Like I'm buzzing to be here. To be honest, like there's no fans back home anyway, so it's not like I'm missing out on anything. Like in that perspective, but like to be here, like it's like such a spectacle and. Everything that's going on and just taking it all in at the minute, it's not really hit me.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point, though, because obviously, you know, as a proud Mancunian, you want to fight in front of your home crowd, but there is no crowd right now. So if this is not a bad consolation prize right here, doing it on the Rock, Rumble on the Rock. So, Matt, you had your pro debut, your call. That was, I think, what, in 2000? September of 2000, something like that?
Yes, yeah, September.
What do you remember about it? Tell me.
I remember it was such a nerve-wracking experience. I'd come straight out of the amateurs into the professionals. A huge difference. And people always used to assume and say to me, do you get more nervous as the challenges get bigger, the opponents get better? But no, I was really nervous for my professional debut. And like you say, they call it the home of British boxing, York Hall. Not quite the same setting as we've got here in the East End of London. We were speaking before upstairs. Ricky made his debut at Widnes Leisure Centre. So Campbell's coming straight in at the top, and he's got to perform and get used to it now.
Absolutely, man. And York Hall, though, I tell you, the ghosts are in York Hall, right? I mean, it's one of those places, and it's so funny because a lot of when I've done quite a few fights there, and I love it. I love it. But a lot of the guys that I work with, they go, oh, man, York Hall. And I'm like, man, this is great. Like, yeah, but it's terrible, this and that. And yes, the amenities are not what you would expect to be top-notch. But, man, it's one of those old-school spots. And if anyone has boxed there.
It wouldn't be a great venue for in the middle of this pandemic, would it, what you touched on there?
Exactly. Exactly. Campbell, what do you remember about your first amateur fight?
Yeah, similar to what Matt was saying there, it's probably one of the most nervous I've ever been. I remember I'd boxed for a few years and then had a little bit of time out. And then when I first started properly, I went down to Northside in Clayton and we'd got my first fight there at Riddle Town Hall. So again, like that's like a million miles from where we are now on this yacht. And I remember... like warming up and like, I was shaking, my legs felt dead heavy and I was really, really fit going into the fight. But I remember like walking up the steps and like that nervous energy, like I started blowing on my way up the steps, getting into the ring. And but the second the bell went and like I started getting introduced, like the nerves just went straight away. And and I did. I enjoyed it, and I'm guessing, obviously, the nerves will be big on the night on such a platform. But I think, like, once that bell goes, like, the nerves will go then, and that's what needs to happen. I want to do myself justice with my performance, so it's just so important for me to stay calm and not be too eager to please and show everybody what I'm like in the gym. And I think if I do that, people will be impressed.
I think those are very good points. And like you said, stay calm and not try to impress so much. That can be hard. I mean, especially when you have like a big crowd, let's say you're boxing, you had a couple good shots, the crowd goes wild, and then now all of a sudden, or they start chanting your name, and now you really want it, but you know, maybe you probably shouldn't do that, but you do that. Matt, that can happen, right?
Oh yeah, it can happen. And Campbell's in a fortunate position. He's been around the sport a long time. He's watched his dad, he's watched myself, and he's an intelligent young man, Campbell. He knows about the sport, and that's what we'll be telling him. He knows he's got to stay relaxed, stay nice and calm. But you know, I'm a firm believer in be the boss from that first round. Start positive. And like I say, Campbell will take his time. But if he spots that opportunity straight away, he'll be in for it. And you've got to forget about all the outside things, all the settings around you, people at home. At the end of the day, the great thing about this sport is you and the other man in the ring. And that's what you've got to concentrate on. So Campbell's well aware of that. And even though it's a big occasion for him, I know he'll be 100% focused on Saturday. And as his trainer, I'm very confident in what he can do, both on Saturday and moving forward.
Well, these are all great points. And speaking of, I mean, Campbell, you're plying the family trade, man. You know, you're obviously following in your pop's footsteps, your uncle's footsteps. It could be hard to shrug off the comparisons. Do you mind talking about that? Is it annoying? Or you know, obviously you want to make your own way in the pro game. How do you feel about all that?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's annoying because people are bound to do it with the careers that my dad and Matthew had, and how loved that they was. It's just the natural thing to do. It's impossible not to. I've done it myself, like watching like so Chris Eubank and Conor Benn. You can't not compare them.
Yeah.
And I think when people see the way I box, there is a lot of similarities. So the comparisons are gonna come, but I think with time and obviously, the people I've got around me will, and I'll be guided the right way, where I will make my own name and impress people off my own back, and I will do it the right way.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, Matt, for you, I mean, obviously, your big brother Ricky, he was leading the charge for British boxing. So that pressure must have really rubbed off on you too. How did you deal with that? Have you spoken to Campbell about those pressures?
Absolutely. I mean, I suppose in a way, the way it's panned out, you know, Campbell couldn't be trained by anyone better, really. You know, the position I was in, I was always playing catch-up. You know, I wasn't as experienced as Ricky in the amateurs. I went into the professional ranks. I lost a couple of fights early. I was written off. And I was always compared to Ricky. But I've always been very mentally strong, me, and as long as I achieved what it was possible for me to achieve, that was all that really mattered to me. So I was always compared to my brother Ricky, and you know, it's a double-edged sword what Campbell's got. You know, with it comes great pressure, but also great opportunity. You know, look where we are here, and in reality, that wouldn't have been the case if it wasn't for the circumstances. But Campbell's got to grasp it with both hands. And like you say, Campbell's never been pushed into the boxing. It's just in him to do. You know, we were touching on fighters there like Eubank and Conor Benn. They don't need to box, but there's something in them that they don't have a choice. It's who they are. And one thing I like about Conor Benn and Chris Eubank, even though they didn't need to box, they were as hungry as they come. And I spot that in Campbell, you know, over the last 6 months, watching him train and watching him spar. He's turning into a little machine, and he is what he is. You put him in that ring, he's a vicious little bugger, let me tell you. So I'm looking forward to Saturday.
Man, I'll tell you what. Well, you know, you talk about what you achieved. I mean, you achieved European welterweight honors, which is great. And do you think Campbell can get that far, can achieve that?
My honest opinion is, I think Campbell can eclipse what I've achieved. You know, I was European champion. I was undefeated European champion. a challenge for the world title three times unsuccessfully. But with Campbell, with what's in front of Campbell, his ability, I think Campbell can eclipse what I achieved and emulate his dad. And I'm just looking forward to being part of the journey. But I really do believe that. Yeah, I think Campbell has got to aim for the stars and aim for that world title.
Do you guys like set goals, or is it just one of those cases of just taking it fight by fight and just seeing how it goes?
Fight by fight, you know, you have in your head originally maybe a set plan of how you envisage things that are going to go, but you have to take it step by step. You know, we're going to start off slow with Campbell. He's a young man, not vastly experienced in the amateurs. But I think with the level of opposition Campbell will fight early on, I think it will get to that stage where we will have to move him on quickly, because how he's looking in the gym, again, he's looking fantastic. So we'll see how he gets on Saturday, and that's a good start and a good yardstick. But take things as they come, see how he goes against the level of opponents he's in with originally.
Absolutely. So Campbell, you know, you've got the promoter, you've got Eddie Hearn, you got the trainer sitting beside you, your Uncle Matt. Obviously, your manager, your father, Ricky, and you've just linked up with Anthony Joshua and 258 Management for the commercial side of things. Can you talk to us a little bit about that move?
Yeah. Obviously, with the boxing side of things, I'm in great hands with, like, what my dad and Matthew, like, with their knowledge is second to none. Then you've got Eddie Hearn as well and Matt Troom. So, like, I'm in the best hands, but boxing's changed a lot. Like the way when my dad and Matt were boxing, there was no like social media and like the branding and things like that, and the things that go on outside the ring.
TV had colour, you know. TV had colour then.
Yeah, it doesn't affect us, does it? Milk bottles. But outside the ring, it's quite different. And like say the commercial side of it, I'm in the best hands now. Like there's no one better to guide me with that side of things than 258.
Matt, does it kind of feels like all the bases are covered with Campbell now? I mean, does that kind of allow you both to just settle down and just crack on with the boxing?
I was just thinking, then David, as you was reeling the names off there, and I'm a firm believer in stick to what you know.
That's
don't
right.
Think you know everything. Don't think you can do everything. Like Campbell touched on there, you know, me and Ricky, very experienced in the boxing. He's working with Anthony Joshua's 258, experts at what they do. Stick to what you know, and let the others stick to what they know. But Campbell has got it, really has. He's got everything in front of him. And all I say, he's got to grasp it with both hands. And I know he'll do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, there's a tool for every job. So.
Absolutely.
You know, you guys talking a little bit earlier about Conor Benn, and I think it is a good comparison. I mean, coming out of his dad's footsteps, you know, Matt, just the way that he was kind of matched correctly at the right time. You know, I mean, he was really raw when he started off. But now, I mean, look at him. He's headlining show, you know, in the world rankings.
That's what excites me about Campbell. Again, not a vastly amateur experience, but you touched on there, Conor Benn. They've got the genetics, haven't they? You just can't change that. You know, he's his father's son, as Campbell is, physically very, very gifted. And even though when they don't have that experience, seeing how quickly he's coming on now, Campbell can go on to, can get better and better. And just how quickly he's coming over the last 6 months makes me really excited about how far he can go.
Yeah, sure. Campbell, seeing Conor do it in his own way must be inspiring in itself. I mean, he's really come out of his father's name.
Yeah, 100%. Like early on, he had his critics. Like I said, he was really raw, and that was a big part of like what made us really want to work with Matt Troom, because they did it the right way, and like the blueprint was already there for what like they needed to do with me. Like it was all spot on. They moved him at the right time, and then they stepped it up at the right time, and then he's learned from it. And it shows, though, how hard he's worked as well. It's shown that even though he was in his dad's spot, like under in his shadow early on, he's grafted in the gym along with being moved the right way, and he's got the results out of it. And now he's a top fighter in his own right. And I think that's what I need to do. I need to work hard and trust the people around me, and I'll get to the same position.
If I say the word Manchester, what thoughts and words both come to your mind? I mean, it's a special place.
It is, especially when it comes to boxing. we live in Manchester, we're Manchester through and through, you know, there's so much excitement. I mean, I knew when Campbell turned professional it would be big, but I'm even surprised myself how much excitement there is in Manchester for Campbell. The Manchester fight fans have always got behind the fighters. And I thought for some times there's a little bit of a void there. It was filled by Anthony Crawler for a brief period, but they're just dying to get behind someone. And why can't that person be Campbell?
No, absolutely. I mean, Jamie Moore, Anthony Crawler in recent years, you know. Who was around when you were growing up? What are the guys that you were looking up to?
Yeah, the two that you mentioned there, really. Like, I was too young to really appreciate my dad and Matt's careers at the time. But obviously, growing up, I'd always, when I got into boxing, I looked at the people that I knew. So obviously, I'd known Jamie for like a long time. And I think Crawler was the first person who I really went to watch live at the Manchester Arena. And like the buzz you get at, like,
it's unreal.
What my dad got at his fights, it was like Crawler was the next closest thing in Manchester, really. Like the atmosphere was electric. And some of the names from Manchester over the years, like others like Michael Brody, like you've got Jamie, you've got Crawler, like Terry Flanagan was someone who was watching growing up as well. And I want to add my name to that list of top fighters over the years.
Well, so now, I mean, you've got the next crop coming through. You got, obviously, yourself. You got Zelpha Barrett, Lyndon Arthur, and there's much more. I mean, is there about to be another resurgence in the Manchester fight scene over the next few years?
Yeah, I think so, definitely. I think with my, like, my style is something that people are going to really like to watch. I think it's really exciting. I've got the aggression and I wear my heart on my sleeve when I box, and along with like my personality, I love everything Manchester. I'm like a big city fan. Love all the Manchester music. I like everything about it. And I'm not an arrogant person like people from Manchester aren't themselves. So I think it is something that people are going to really jump on and want to be part of.
So I got a question. Speaking of Manchester, Matt, this is for you. I mean, look. The hat name is synonymous with Man City, but you actually support the red half of Manchester.
Dropped on his head as a kid, wasn't he?
He supports Manchester United. How did that come about? How did that happen?
I think he's done this on purpose, you know, because I take the piss out of him, something rotten. And, I've always been a United fan. I don't think I'll be able to go again, will I? After Saturday, he took me up like a kipper there. He said he'd get me back, and he's certainly done that.
That's great, man. So, look, I know you guys we've had a very long day, so we're gonna try to wrap it up. But we do have a section of the podcast that we call the rapid fire questions. So the fans send questions in for you, and this first one is for Campbell. It's from @EastlandCity. He asks, your dad boxed in Las Vegas many times and famously drank the bars dry. Have you ever been to Vegas? I guess you might be too young.
Yeah, I've never been to Vegas. And it'd be a bit pointless for me, to be honest. but it's definitely on the list for when I'm 21 and I'm going to drink it dry too.
What's your drink of choice? Oh, actually, no, wait, you're not 21 yet, so forget that question. Okay.
No.
We're going to go with milk.
English rules now. And I'll have anything they'll give me.
All right, the next question is from Matthew. It's from Peter Brown. He asks, it's your 40th birthday coming up in the next month or two, I think. Do you have any plans?
Not really. It's pretty difficult to make plans at the minute. Missed my last birthday in lockdown, 40th coming up. So, no, not really at the minute. Certainly none I can announce.
All right. Kareem Iqbal asked Campbell, there were pictures of you and AJ a few weeks back at Finchley Amateur Gym. What words of encouragement did he pass on?
Yeah, the main things he was saying were just work harder than everyone else, like we was talking about. Because I remember his old coach, Sean, was doing a bit of work with me while I was down there, and AJ weren't there yet, ready for his training. So I was like a little kid, wanted to show off a bit to AJ. So I must have done about 30 rounds in the gym waiting for him to come. So I told him how much I'd done, and he said, that's what you need to do. Like, you need to keep going.
It's great. It's great to have guys to look up to like that, you know, and 258 management. And he's on top of the world right now. So, all right, LaRon Johnson asked Matthew, on reflection, what was the best win of your career?
Without doubt, when I won the European title against Gianluca Branco, who was a fantastic fighter. Only 3 defeats on his record, myself, Arturo Gatti, and Miguel Cotto. So, especially when I'd lost fights early on and I was struggling a little bit, people used to write me off. But I've always been a stubborn character. I always knew I could do it. I never lacked self-belief. So when I won that European title, it was a sweet, sweet moment. It really was.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, you and your older brother, Ricky, what age did you start getting into boxing?
I had my first kickboxing bout at 6. We started off with kickboxing originally. We then went into the amateur boxing. So we started very, very long. We was brought up in pubs. We'd be sparring upstairs. The customers used to say they could hear the pots rattling downstairs. So it's just something that's always been in us. But yeah, started very early. First kickboxing bout at 6.
And did you guys used to scrum together?
We did. You know, me and Ricky's always got on great, to be fair. But as kids, we'd spar together. And even when we got older, when we were still living at home with my mum and dad, we was both young professionals. I was always playing catch up. And with us being similar kind of size, weight, we used to spar a lot together as well. So that got on awkward. Got pretty awkward sometimes when we come home and was having tea together and I'm sat there with a shine. And but my mum would get him back. My mum would give him a crack.
What did your folks, were they the ones that put you into kickboxing?
No, not really. We was just always encouraged from a young age to get into sport. My dad was a football player. My dad actually played for Manchester City. So boxing was never a part of the family. It started with me and Ricky, really. So, no, again, just something in us. We wasn't pushed towards the combat sports. It was more of a footballing family, really. So it started with us, and Campbell's continuing it now.
That's it, man. It's the family trade at this point. Okay, Southpaw Jab 13 asks Campbell, are you going to be ring walking to Blue Moon this Saturday, or is it under wraps?
Yeah, I'm not letting anything out yet. All I'm going to say is it's going to be something that everyone's going to like, especially the people from Manchester. There's a bit in there for the city lot, and there's a bit in there just for Manchester in general as well. So people are going to love it.
That's great, man. A little of that northern soul, huh? All right. Theo Snaps Photos asks Matthew, when does Campbell, the nephew, become Campbell, the fighter to you? All family emotion surely needs to be put to the side for all fights.
Absolutely. I've got 2 hats for this one on Saturday. You know, I'm really proud of Campbell. You know, he's a professional sportsman now, what he's aspired to be for some time. But again, my job and role is as Campbell's trainer, so I've got to put that to one side. And again, it's going to be all business on Saturday. You know, Campbell will be treated just the same. You know, I think the world of all my boxers. I've got all their welfares at heart. But all my fighters are really well prepared. And when I know they've prepared well, I can sit in that. I never like to be in the corner doubting my fighters. So I make sure they're all prepared properly. And to say Campbell's prepared properly, he's gone above and beyond. He really has. So he's certainly ready. So I'll be sat in that corner, proud as his uncle, but as his coach, very confident, very confident.
Well, I can't wait to call his name out for the first time, and I can't wait to see you in the ring. And I know that a ton of fans want to see you too. So Matthew Campbell, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you guys taking the time to sit down and speak with me and Matchroom Radio. It's just been great. And our exclusive for today, Fabio Wardley, the undefeated charge from Ipswich, the big heavyweight, young, powerful, explosive fighter. He's going to be fighting Eric Molina, and that is going to be the chief support for Saturday. So that just got announced. And do not miss the new Matchroom Media documentary, Blue Moon Rising, which focuses on the buildup to Campbell's pro debut, which will be happening Saturday night. And it'll be across YouTube and Sky Sports throughout the week. And until then, I'm David Diamante from Matchroom Radio, and we'll catch you tomorrow.